All right, so I was trending Twitter or rending Redditation. I wanted to do a shout out to one of my new buddies out there, Chris S. So I'm trying to take some pictures here. It is 6:46 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Not sure the date, so I'll check the date. April 5th. Oh boy, a good thing I can edit this out. It's taking me forever to get these screenshots. Okay, screenshots are done. All right, so I got the screenshots here. It took longer than usual. But yeah, I was trying to think what we would talk about because I'm kind of still recouping from that trip to Florida. But of course, I mean, you guys may or may not know this. I guess maybe you assume it. And sometimes when you make an assumption, it's correct. Or you like make an ass. You don't make an ass out of you and me. You know, maybe has anyone, that's a good Halloween costume for any couples that are listening. Make an ass out of you and me. Like, go as, like, a double, you go as just a jackass, or you could, here we go. Okay, I know it's too early to plan for Halloween, but I know there's probably a lot of you that are into Halloween. Me, it's too much follow-through, but, you know, for me. But, yeah, let's do somebody, we can work on this concept, but it make an ass out of you and me costume. It'll be like, I don't know. We'll figure out the front end of it. But the concept would be that someone would say, what are you this year? And then you would make it, you'd say, hey, let's make an ass out of you and me. Now you can make a jackass. You can make a human ass. You can make a ass like with letters. I'm sure you can make an asp just to be even sillier. Don't make an asp out of you and me. What are you, somebody, you know, was it Cleopatra? Did she get bit by an asp? I don't know. So that's an idea, but that doesn't have anything to do with. So one thing is I'm always working on this podcast on some level. A lot of times it's active work, like writing, outlining, recording, editing, planning, worrying, getting back to you guys, avoiding getting back to you guys, procrastinating, worrying. But other times it's a more subtle, you know, thing where it's like I'm on the lookout for stories. Like, so a lot of times we're in Florida, you know, I was like, okay, well, that could be that a story. And sometimes we go into the, you know, I go into these strange worlds where it's like, okay, what is ethically, what can I tell you? I guess I have to tell you this is a fictional story because it's made up. But, you know, that's just, you know, those are legal terms and sensible terms. But I remember, so I think I was telling you guys a little bit, this will be a little bit of a backstory, the nonfiction part. Was it like a dream? So where does the dream start? Where does the fiction? Where? But so my dad was in the musical MAME, M-A-M-E. MAME, the musical, is very dependent on the lead actress. This actress that they had playing MAME was phenomenal. It's a his retirement community players, Timber Pine players, I think they're called. The thing about it, I talked about it before, but beautiful thing to see. My dad was never, we would go to musical once a year when I lived in New York City, I think. And that was fun. I like musicals. My parents liked musicals. A good thing to do with your parents when you're that age is to say, hey, let's go to a musical, eat dinner. And then we lived very little talking to each other. But, so we were at MAME. I went twice because I was at the hospital in Gainesville, and I went to like a preview. It wasn't the dress rehearsal; it was a show because they put on the show for like the residents of this retirement community. But this was when people that weren't residents could come. So people that, I mean, you know, friends from outside the community. And again, this is like a more smaller scale retirement community, you know, but. You know, I've already written stuff about bigger scale. I find these places endlessly interesting. But so the second performance of MAME, it was like a table seating. It was like a dinner show without the dinner. And I'm not being facetious. Like, you could bring your own snacks and drinks, but they weren't serving you anything. But you could eat during the show. And everyone in the show, except for in MAME, they have a little boy, Patrick, who's a secondary MAME's nephew. And it takes, you should look it up. Now, no offense to MAME, the musical, but it's not one of my favorite musicals. I give a super credit to the actress who played MAME. The lady who was her best friend, phenomenal job. My dad did a great job. Actually, everyone who played did a great job. Just a little bit, it was more of a spectacle of watching this main person act than a scripting story. If I'm a musical, you know, I want Jean Valjean or, you know, Phantom of the Opera is there inside my mind. But that's me. You know, this is musical criticism coming from a guy who pretended at a Nutcracker that one of the women was Daphne from Scooby-Doo so I could be titillated. That was when I was a boy. But, you know, my criticism should not mean anything. But so I'm at this musical. Again, I'd seen it once. I'm not the greatest at paying attention. Also, I liked looking at the audience to see, you know, how these retirees were reacting to the music. It was very interesting. And again, on a outsider thing, I went to the cast party. It was beautiful. I almost cried, you know, seeing all these people that were so fulfilled by going through this, you know, process of learning this musical and performing the musical and all the hard work that went into it and then all the fear and effort. It was just beautiful to see all these people, like, that they shared this moment. It was just great. And now it's probably for another thing, because one of the things I noticed when I was looking around the audience was I was scanning this one table to the left of me, and I said, whoa, wait a second, is that morally safer, sitting at that table? And so then I said to myself, I put on the old story boots, you know, story hat, story gloves. I put on, you know, my almost like a Sherlock Holmesian type outfit, cape, story cape, most important. And I said, "Is that morally safer over there?" And if you, for some of you, you might not know who morally safer is. As I'm making this episode as a dedication to a Canadian, he's a very famous American and Canadian. He's a newsman from 60 Minutes. When you want to talk about voices, the great voices of whatever century just ended, the 1900s, that's what we call it. And into the early aughts, morally safer has got a voice that mattered a lot to me. He had a way of, anyway, I don't want to go into his 60 Minutes career, but he was a star of 60 Minutes. And, but the main thing I always like is listening to his voiceover during the story. I like seeing him, and, you know, how the story would unfold. But I could just listen to Maury's tones. But then I was thinking, wait, is that more, Adventure Time is what I was thinking. So I say to the show, I say, okay, excuse me, guys, I'm going to be late for the cast party, even though, you know, I'm not a cast member anyway. I'm going to hang out here by this bush here. And then I said, I saw the guy came out, he had to tie his shoe. So I went down, I tied my shoe right by him. I said, afternoon, Mr. Safe, afternoon, sir. And he said, it's evening. I said, oh, yes, it is. I mean, you're so observant. You're not going to hold that against me, are you? And he said, he was a little befuddled, I would say. Then somebody that knew me, that was from California, slapped me on my back. And they said, don't worry, California, we got you, or I got you. It was this real cool guy. But anyway, I fell over into Mr. Safer's shoes. And I said, oh, excuse me, sir, excuse me. And he said, oh, no, it seemed to have broken your shoelace. And I said, let me change it. Come on, I'll sit down on this bench. I'll change shoelaces with you. And I said, how convenient that we both have the same blue shoelaces. He said, your shoelaces aren't the same color as mine. And I said, sure they are almost. Mr. Schaefer, it's just an honor. Any chance of me calling you morally? Morally? I've looked up to you for so long. And, you know, I can't specifically say anything other than I'm thinking, man, what are you doing later? And he said, well, my wife and I, we're going to go home and, you know, go to bed. It's 10 o'clock at night. And I said, I go, look out there, listen to the sounds. I go, somewhere out there, there's something going down. And I was like, we could be having adventures. Like, you just because you're retired here. And again, I don't know, maybe I'm confusing you with another morally safer that cared about breaking the story, breaking the truth. I don't know, how do you feel about breaking too? Like, would you mind if I break a little? So I was breaking a little bit. I don't do very much breaking. And he laughed. I said, all right, I got him now. And I said, come on, Morley. I got myself a, well, actually, I don't have a golf cart. Do you have one? And he said, well, he goes, it's a two-person golf cart. And I got me and my wife are here. And I said, well, let's drop her off at home. So she, you know, so we got in the car. Lovely woman, you know, not to be disclosed to you guys because this is private matters. But we rode off down the way and in into the world of magical story. Of course, I go, you guys want to hear a funny fact? TIL, you know, the Bible contained a passage where it said it became dark in the daytime there in the crucifixion of Jesus. You know, Easter Sunday's coming up, Mr. Safer. You know, NASA discovered a total eclipse actually occurred in Jerusalem on the 24th of November 29 CE. I think that's Common Era or Christian Era or something, at around 11 a.m. But that fact got dismissed by the church because it's not in accordance with Easter. And I said, ma'am, I'm going to take your husband tonight and we're going to go investigate some stuff. And she said, what stuff? And I said, funny business that I'm aware of. And she said, what funny business? I said, well, we got a water crisis in California. And I go, you guys got all these springs here. And I saw some guys, you know, taking water out of the spring and I want to look into it. And I said, don't worry, Morley, this, you know, I'm not going to tell her anything. I said, don't worry, I won't get him in any trouble at all. You know, trust me. And she said, you look like your middle name's Trouble. And I said, do you like that? Do you know, do you have any, anyone you could introduce me to, around my age within 20 years, say? And she said, no. And she said, I appreciate if you bring my husband home in the next 15 minutes. And I said, well, he'll be driving, so he'll be bringing me home. And I don't even know how to get there or to the spring. Is this a street legal golf cart, do you know, outside? Because we're going to be taking it. How's your charge on there, Morley? And then he started getting irritated. He was both into it and irritated. He said, oh, forever. And I said, I'll get the car keys. So we pulled up to their place. We go inside. He said, what are you doing? I said, coming inside. And I said, what do you guys got here? And I saw they had a Easter egg decorating stuff all set up. And I said, what's going on? I said, did you guys get that Easter spirit I was talking about just a second ago? And he said, I'm getting the car keys, don't touch anything. I said, well, what is it? And they had like a little clear, you know, where you put the pills in. Do you use vinegar? What do you use to dye eggs? Nowadays, they got all sorts of inventions with freaking dyeing eggs. Like you got, I said, well, they had like all colors. Like, I think they had 12, and his wife said, or the woman we were with said, you know, we got the grandkids coming over tomorrow to decorate eggs for Easter. And I said, interesting. And she said, as a matter of fact, we need some eggs. So Morley, get some eggs, Mr. Safer. And then she laughed and looked at me and I said, wait a second. Have you been co-opted by the military-industrial complex, the both of you? And then she said, I'm going to get ready for bed. And he said, I'm going to use the restroom. So, of course, they left me alone with their egg-making kit. He was probably gone about 4 minutes. But, of course, I saw that they had a bowl, one of those real nice clear bowls full of hard-boiled eggs, which I was thinking, did you leave hard-boiled eggs out? I guess if you're not going to eat them, but then should you label them somehow? You know, don't eat the dyed eggs. Like, how do you get that message across? But I started messing with some eggs, dyeing them myself. And somehow I got myself, they had white rugs. Bad idea. Why are you going to have a egg decorating party with, so I was covered in egg stuff. I had one egg and they both came out because I guess I was making a racket. I don't know how. And there's shouting ensued. Neighbors were coming over. And I said, I tried making an Easter egg, but I think I created a tiny little universe instead. And I said, come on, look closely. And I started, I did an episode of the podcast right there. I said, Morley, go get something interesting. And I said, here, watch this on my phone. I gave him, I said, watch the first episode of The Jinx. He said, oh, I'm a, and I said, okay, then watch Kimmy Schmidt or something. And I said, I got stuff to do. So I bored everybody. And then by that time, you know, they said, oh, we're all going to bed. And I said, all right, let's break you out of here. And he said, yeah, we got to go to the store and get those eggs. I said, we got stories to break. What are you saying, eggs? And then I said, oh, wait a second, you want to break a story at the store? I got it. Agribusiness. I'm on it. Was that why you don't trust eggs? Okay. Okay, Morley, I'm on it. I'm your right-hand man. Are we going to go get... Are we doing a print story, or are we going to get, when's that guy teaches at Berkeley, your old partner in crime, or maybe it was he your partner in crime, or Ed's or Mike's partner in crime? And he was just kind of ignoring me. And I said, listen, man, we're going to be working together. We'll probably, you know, have to do some interviews together because I'll be like your kid. Could you call me Kid Cleveland? And he said, why? I said, I don't know. It sounds like some sort of, how about Kid Toledo? And he said, why? I said, I don't know. Some sort of Ohio town nickname makes me sound, what about 22 Skidoo? Is that one of the things you guys used to say? I said, what do you think about my story cape? And he said, I was wondering about that. I said, you want to try it on? He said, as a matter of fact, my shoulders are cold. So I caped Mr. Safer. And I said, you know, more, let's get to know each other, man. If you're going to be in here, I said, what's bothering you the most right now? I mean, other than me, because, you know, work, non-work stuff, or a story that you know about we could break, or whatever we're going to get into at this grocery store. And he said, my brother. And I said, oh, really? Tell me more about your brother. And he said, the world needs more people like my brother. His girlfriend, not so much. And I said, really, really? I said, does he live around here? And he says, as a matter of fact, he does. And I say, I'm on the way to get the eggs or on the way home. Hint, hint. And he said, and I said, you know, is tomorrow Easter, Morley, or today or yesterday or a week from now? But it's Easter. It could be Easter in your heart. Time to... resurrect bad business of the family. After you, should you do that before Easter or after? But he's Morley's driving, and I say, you know, is this your older brother or younger brother? He said younger, and I said, he doesn't go by Borley, does he? And he goes, he laughed at that. He goes, he could. And I said, maybe you could, Morley and Borley. But I was like, that sounds like someplace that Scrooge would work, or Bob Cratchit, Morley and Borley and Scrooge. And I said, go ahead and say it. And he started saying it. I'm like, I got Morley Safer, or a guy that looks a hell of a lot like him, saying Morley, Morley and Borley, Morley and Borley, private eye, private reporters, personal reporters, but Morley and Borley, retirement news. How's that sound? Retirement. Salacious retirement news, retirement tabloid news. And he was laughing at that. And then we pull up to this house. It was off of campus or whatever. I think, I don't know what they call it there, but I said, this is off campus establishment. He goes, get ready for the show. And I said, why don't I go undercover, morally. And he said, go for it. So I went up to the door and I knock on the door and I say, afternoon, evening, afternoon. And this woman comes to the door and I say, afternoon, ma'am. I said, she said, what's that smell? I said, vinegar. And she said, really, it's terrible. And I said, I know. I said, as a matter of fact, I had a little Easter egg trouble earlier this evening, and that's why I'm here. You know, you might notice that the color, it's purplish on my hands now, but it once was a rainbow. You know, I made this little universe. I call it a universe egg. I don't know what I did with it, but yeah, I'm here on some Easter-related Easter egg business. On our way to get Easter egg business, remind me to follow up question with you. Don't worry, I'm not wearing wire yet. And she was just staring at me. And I noticed she was probably, she looked like she had a bit of a temper, but she saw Morley in the car. And she said, is this regarding him? And I said, as a matter of fact, it does, ma'am. I'm sorry to say, I'm going to need to speak with you. You know, this Easter-related business. Do you have any Easter plans? And she goes, yeah, I do. My mom. She said, if you guys aren't busy tomorrow morning, we're taking Grayson to an Easter egg hunt, and he's getting his picture with the Easter egg bunny. And I said, the Easter egg bunny? She goes, no, he's getting his picture with the Easter bunny. Grayson's our family dog. And I said, really? I said, ma'am, I happen to have a bunny outfit in the car. Where's your mom? She goes, in the back. And I said, is Grayson with her? And she goes, he is. I said, okay, why don't you go get your mom and Grayson? And is there anyone else at the residence now? And she goes, his brother, of course. Well, you should know that. I said, oh, no. I'm on this Easter business, ma'am. I don't, Mr. Schaefer there. You know, we work together. And unfortunately, you know, there was this egg incident in his home. We had to clear it, you know, vinegar leakage. And, I said, let's try to help the world now that we can't stay at your house because of vinegar leakage, because we were going to watch some TV. But the smell was too powerful. It wasn't safe, you know, because, you start to get confused. You know, did I have salad? Am I sweating salad? I feel like vinaigrette, but you know, I don't feel appetizing at all. And she says, I'm starting to lose my patience with you. And I said, I'm only here to help you with Grayson and your mom. And I said, you really need to practice. You know, there's a study that finds that being exposed to Buddhist concepts reduces prejudice and increases pro-sociality. And she said, what does that mean? I said, well, it just makes you kinder. And I said, let me go. Why don't you go get your mom, Grace? I'll talk to Mr. Safer's brother. And, I'll be okay. And she said, well, he's sitting on the couch. I said, was he a bit of an introvert? She said, he is. I said, okay, you go get that dog. And, when you come back, I may be dressed up as the Easter bunny, or, you know, we don't want to ruin Easter for your dog, though. So maybe I shouldn't dress up as maybe you should just go see how, go check, excuse me. She said, okay, I'll be right back. I'll go get Grayson and probably call the police. And I said, well, I have journalistic rights, so, and integrity. I lied about the bunny suit, so I guess my integrity is shot. Well, but I'm like with a salacious. Anyway, don't call the police. I'm gonna pretend I'm the Easter bunny. How's your mom's eyesight? She said terrible. I said, all right, we'll work together. So I go in the house and I say, Mr. Safer, how you doing today? I'm here representing your brother and his family and your family because you're one and the same. And he wanted me to speak to you on his behalf. And he said, really? And I said, yeah, you know, that woman, she wasn't half bad. Beautiful, beautiful. That's your girlfriend? He said, no, that's my girlfriend's daughter. And I said, oh, boy. I just sent her a... I said, really, and he goes, yeah. He goes, oh, yeah, she's single. And he goes, you better get out of here and run. And I said, why? He said, you haven't met Grayson yet and their mother. And I said, no, as a matter of fact, I have not, but I don't judge. Well, I just judge. I said, well, you know, your brother is not happy with your relationship. And, you know, Mr. Safer, I got to ask you, like, you know, you sit around here, you lie, well, you got this girlfriend, is it because you're not getting out enough? Like, I want to ask, like, introverts, I like to ask this question, introverts, how do you re-energize after spending the day in the crowd, etc.? And he said, I avoid the crowds. And I said, well, we were just at this play, a musical play, MAME. And then I think I heard Morley pulling out of the driveway, but I couldn't, you know, had this guy's attention. And I said, you know, it was a big crowd, and I'm an introvert, you're an introvert, and, you know, I need to recharge by, you know, helping you and your brother bring things together, you know, just in time for Easter, which I'm not sure when it is. But you know, and he said, he goes, you're really making my eyes water. And I said, yeah, it's touching. Your brother cares about you. He misses you. He misses you, misses all the fun you used to have together. And I said, I'll tell you what, like, I'll tell you a little secret. What do you think about Morley, Borley, and... And he said, what are you muttering about? I said, well, I said, you're perfect because you live outside. We're going to blow the roof off of Florida, you know, all the stories that are under the swamp, in the springs, you know, swallowed by gators. We're going to break all that, starting with the Easter agribusiness cover up at the grocery store. So I said, why don't you go out and get in the car with your brother? I'll break up with your girlfriend for you. And he goes, well, we live together. I said, well, and you're her mother. I said, you can move in with Morley. He said, no, he won't. And I said, go get in the car, please, and make sure he didn't leave. And he said, oh, no, he gets nervous. He backs up and then drives forward and backwards. And I said, that doesn't seem like something Morley Safer would do. And then I said, I got to go in. I said, where's the restroom? He said, why? You got to go to the bathroom? I said, no, I got to design an Easter bunny costume because I hear. And I was like, I'm worried about me and your girlfriend. And he said, oh, boy, you should be. And I said, but I got to make an Easter bunny costume for her your mother. And so then I ran into the bathroom and I went and I grabbed some hangers out of the closet. I was going in there. I bent those. Dipped some toilet paper and a little bit of water, wrapped, you know, two hangers and, you know, bent those up into ears. And I had, you know, you can bend hangers a lot. So I made those into a chin strap. And luckily I had enough egg dye that I was able to make the ears, you know, it wasn't pink like the ear, the inside of the ear, but it was a color, you know, a purplish color. And then I found some, nail polish, gloss, and I painted my lips my upper, where my mustache area, and I put some floss on there. And then they had a toilet seat cover, the actual, you know, when you put it on the toilet lid cover. And so then I tucked that in the front of my shirt, it happened to be pink, I mean, talk about it. And then they had like one of the ones that goes around the bottom. I told I was not going to touch that. That's gross. And I said, I looked myself in the mirror and I said, well, this is the price of being morally safer and Borley. Morally Borley and safer. Safer with Morley and Borley. Yeah, I wonder if he'll agree to that. Borley and Safers. But yeah. And then I heard a dog barking, and you guys probably know that I'm really good with dogs. So I was like, I was pretty confident that the dog, Grayson, wouldn't be mad at me. So I opened the door, and there's the first woman who was there, and then the second woman, and an older woman and a dog, a trio of women that were related to each other. And the woman I had not met yet, or well, I guess two of them I had not met, the one that I assume was Morley Safer's brother's girlfriend, she says, that's one of the best cosplay outfits I've ever seen. And she goes, is that from Bioshock? And I said, no, I'm an Easter Bunny. I'm here to see all of you. Hi. And right out of like a tropey thing, like the younger woman, she starts laughing because some of the toilet paper was already like on my forehead. But the older woman, she was older. She said, oh, boy, Grayson, you hear that? And then Grayson was barking like, and not like angry, like a, like, you know, when dogs just bark really loud, like where it's like it's not high pitched. This was like a big dog, gray, you know, oh, Grayson, brilliant. Gray, I'm not sure, very regal looking, very beautiful dog, but it had, I'm not even sure, not a Labrador, bigger than a Labrador, shaped like a bit of like a Labrador, though. But bigger, I don't know, not a greyhound, but maybe a shape about that size, but heavy, you know, bigger. Nice hair, but it barked so loud. Like, it was like barking like, hey, it's the Easter Bunny. But I was like, damn, that's loud. And I said, the Easter Bunny's got big ears. Oh, and he kept barking, barking. And then she said, Grayson, quiet it down. And I said, I'm here to take, I heard there's a little dog here that loves the Easter Bunny. And I hopped all the way here from Easter Lane, all the way here, just hop, 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 hopping along with my little bunny. And she said, you smell like a salad bowl. And I said, yeah. I said, you know it, the Easter Bunny. What do you think the Easter Bunny eats? I eat salad. I went to a salad buffet, ma'am, to celebrate. And give me the energy to hop all the way here to see you and Grayson. What's your name, beautiful? And she said, it's Grayson. And I said, oh, no, you, my dear. And she said, I'm Clarice. I said, beautiful to meet you, Clarice. So nice. It's so nice to meet you, Clarice. She said, it's so nice to meet you. What? You came all the way here just to see Grayson? I said, oh, yeah, I didn't, well, I have bad news, too. Everybody sit down. Let's take my pictures with Grayson first. And she said, okay. So we took some pictures with Grayson. And then Grayson would stop barking until I was right next to Grayson. And then it was like he was saying cheers, but at like 5 billion decibels. Woof, like that, but loud. Oh, so loud. And I said, oh, the Easter Bunny's ears are hurting. And they were also falling apart. And I said, you're damaging, you know, how am I going to hop, hop, hop to the children? So then I said, all three of you guys sit on. Grayson, why don't you go in the soundproof room where they keep you or something? And woof. And then Grayson liked me. Oh, I forgot I had the, I guess I got mixed up when it came to the tail. So I'd shoved, I'd turned my shorts around and shoved a toilet bowl thing, just the handle out of the back of the fly of my shorts, which was where my butt was. But I didn't realize that, I really didn't realize that the Easter Bunny has a puffy tail and not a long tail. But Grayson kept biting at that, like, and I said, don't hurt the Easter Bunny. And I said, well, you know, you guys have a seat. I don't know if you know, you know, I'm friends with, you know, you guys. I don't know if you remember that 60 Minutes interview. Remember that 60 Minutes interview I did back in the day when they said the Easter Bunny's not real? And they were, three of them, they were like, it was like three different looks. The one youngest woman, she kind of looked like perplexed. Then the middle woman, she's getting angrier every minute, like she knew what was coming. So I was trying to figure out a way to not tell her the truth, and I didn't even know what the truth would be. And then the third woman, she was kind of like, what the hell? Easter Bunny was on. I mean, she was like, yeah, had a legitimate look. And I said, yeah, you know, Morally Safer looked into it. And it was like, I think it aired on April Fool's Day. So everyone was like, was that real, Morally? You know, did you really interview the Easter Bunny? Did you really track down Farmer Ned and see if he ate from the rabbit patch? And then, you know, Peter Cottontail was hopping down the bunny trail, hippity-hoppity, Easter's on its way, and then the Easter Bunny came, and Morally Safer said, bye, you know, I have, you know, journalistic standards and a belief in things, and what I believe in is human goodness and human kindness and rabbits, and I believe my grandchildren should be able to color eggs and not have a fool ruin them. And I believe my brother should have that. Oh, and then the show, whoa, oh no, she was mad. She started, and I said, and then Grayson barked at her. I said, good boy, or good girl. I said, Grayson, that's a boy. And I said, good barking. And I said, ma'am, please sit down. Please don't. And the mother said, leave. What are you yelling at the Easter Bunny about? And she said, she's trying to steal Barney from me. And I said, Barney? And she goes, yeah, Marnie's my boyfriend. And I said, well, what do you think about this? If they call them the Schaefer brothers, Morally and the Schaefer brothers. And she crossed her arms. And I said, man, I feel like a snake keeper feeding his short-tempered king cobra, trying to tell you the news is, I might look like a spring bunny, so young, and there's this strange counterintuitiveness to, I don't know, have you guys seen the movie Benjamin Button? I have not. As the Easter Bunny, you know, I don't have the time because I'm painting so many eggs, eating so much salad, that's why I smell so of vinegar. And, you know, I don't think I've seen a movie since like 1990s Graveyard Shift, and I like that so much I bought the actual Monster's Closet auction, and they're badass. And so that's what I dress up for Halloween. But other than that, I'm pretty busy. But the counterintuitive thing about being an Easter Bunny is that time flows backwards for me, but it's still exhausting. And I've been watching, you know, Grayson's love of the Easter Bunny. And I have a particular softness for, your brother, boyfriend, brother. What do you call that? Boyfriend's brother. I guess that's the most official way to refer to it. A soft spot. And I said to myself, I love Grayson. I love Morally Safer. If there's only some way, you know, because I have to pick someone to take over for me, and they will become younger, but they'll feel old. It's a weird thing. That's why I come to the, you know, I'm looking for someone, you know, older to become the Easter Bunny, take over for me. And then they will enter the world of eternal spring, and they'll slowly reverse age, but so slowly. It's complicated stuff. And then she said, I'm not buying it. And I said, well, you don't have to buy. That's a beautiful thing about Easter beauty. And I said, is that, I gotta be honest. We already took him. He's the future Easter Bunny, Barney. And he'll live on in your hearts every Easter instead of me. And she said, you're not the Easter Bunny. And then the mother said, yes, he is. And then Grayson was barking. I said, keep it up, Grayson. I said, Grayson, can you growl? And then Grayson growled at me and ripped my tail out. And I said, she said, see, that's a toilet brush. I said, oh, whoa. I said, yeah. I said, where did that come from? I said, what do they feed me at that salad bar? And then the younger woman, she was cracking up still. I said, wow, that was funny. A joke. I'm going to write that one down. And I said, she said, you're stealing. And I said, no, it's a great honor to become a new Easter. And she said, you have hangers on your head. And I said, listen, ma'am, I'm here. Really, Sirbunny's a busy person. I'll tell you what really happened, okay? I really work for the Easter Bunny, as Grayson clearly would have bit me if I did not. And I dressed up as the Easter Bunny to gain your trust, because we did recruit Barney to become the new Easter Bunny. But he really, Easter Bunny's real busy. Don't even have time to recruit his replacement. And to be honest, the logistics of Easter Bunny dumb. And she said, well, there's no Easter. And I said, well, you know, let me, if I had the 60 Minutes archives in my pocket, you know, you could watch. And I said, you know, we were recruited. He's already gone. Relationship's over. Who owns this house? Do you own it? And the mother said, it's my house. I said, okay, well, that's fine. Does he have any stuff? And she said, it'll be on the curb in the morning. I said, great, we'll send, you know, the bunny minions by to pick that up. And I said, you know, I'm sorry I stunk up your house. And, you know, Grayson here, you had yourself a great dog. Grayson barked again. I said, I want you all to close your eyes. I want you to think about, this is where I ate my breakfast this morning. It was a view from Cribben, from the top of Pen y Fan in Wales. And we had hiked up there. Well, I hopped up there. Bunny Trail, actually. Peter Cottontail and I. And some people that didn't quite cut it as a future bunny, Easter bunny rabbits. And I said to them, look at this view. Look at all this salad. And then we got higher, and I realized it was a surprise party for me, a going-out-of-way party. And she said, I thought you only worked for the Easter Bunny. I said, I'm speaking as a, we're also, we share a hive mind, the Easter Bunny League, EBL. So no more questions. Just close your eyes. I'm feeding you from the hive mind. And we fed on a giant spread on the top of a mountain of the salads. And then we dressed each other in salad dressing because that was the way we celebrated the joys of Easter, joyfulness. And some people might say, well, that's just a commercial. And a lot of people say they don't get the Easter Bunny. So then I went to this guy I know, and I said that he was a gamer. He created a mod for Half-Life 2 in his spare time. He gets offered an interview with Gearbox Software. But the important thing was the mod for Half-Life. And the younger woman, she said, I play Half-Life 2. And I said, hey, you play Half-Life 2 too. And she giggled again. I said, man, I wish I was really an Easter Bunny. And she, the middle woman, said, see? And I said, yeah, I'm a representative, but I have the hive mind. And there's a process by which we become a bunny in spirit. And I said, well, I was trying to make a point, and you guys threw me off there. But you know, as we celebrated Easter, and the tradition is, like, a lot of people ask, is Easter Bunny about spring or selling crap or sex, having sex to celebrate spring? And then I said, well, related to rebirth, you know, whether it's Christian tradition or the Seder and the Passover or the emergence from the darkness in winter, whatever your belief system is, the Easter Bunny is a way to connect to that. But with your kids that say, hey, I don't go for all that crap, they'll believe in the Easter Bunny. And any of the three of you, clearly Grayson does, to believe in the Easter Bunny too, because your boyfriend now is gone, and I'm going to team up with his brother. So be on the lookout, because I'm retiring. I'm becoming a reporter. Hold on one second, because I got a suspicion. My reporter sense is overriding my bunny sense. And I look out, of course the car's gone. And I said, I guess I was trying to explain to you this Half-Life mod. It was to become a child was the first mod. You would go into these levels where you would be a child trying to find your way to an Easter basket through these worlds where stuff was sparking and computer, and there was that sound that you associate with Half-Life, I think it is, like lightning, and it sounds like, and but you were looking for Easter baskets, and then you were the next, once you leveled up from there, you realized that you were looking for more than that to help people. And then you realize you were looking for candy. And then you said, what's better? You would debate with this man over a riddle, which was a paradox. What candy is better, hollow or solid chocolate? And you would have to weigh the thing of a huge solid chocolate bunny with the joy of not having too much chocolate, of the pain of trying to nibble, break through that bunny head, and all the symbolism for us. And that is the thing that, you know, cracks through the Easter spirit for me and for all. And then I realized they were all asleep. I said, wow, this unfortunately. And I said, well, maybe I should extricate myself. And then, of course, I took one step and Grayson barked and they all woke up. And I said, I'm beat here. I said, maybe I should stay here tonight in the spare bedroom, you know, and and then they said, oh, no. And then the younger one said, you stink like the worst smelling, what do you bathe in, vinegar? And I said, well, a vinegar water bath with dyes. I said, you see, I dip my nipples into two colors. I hope the kids don't. One of them's irritated. Do you guys have any like makeup remover, cold cream I could put on one of these nipples? It's got I dipped it in, yellow and blue, make green. I tried that with one nipple. And then I think I did Roy G. Biv with the other one. I was like, can you do that? And then the older woman, she said, girls, you know, as the mother. And I said, well, that's an important part. She said to stop talking. She said, what do you want for Easter? And I said, well, I would have liked to spend the night with, and she said, what realistically did you want for Easter? What would your rebirth be? And I said, well, my original plan was to be reborn as a buster of agribusiness or water profiteers or, swamp villains, busting them with my partners, safer and safer, safer and Borley. Maybe we'd have I think we'd go old school. We wouldn't be on the internet. We'd be print and maybe public access or maybe some sort of signal that would come in and fade back out. But that's what I was hoping for Easter, be reborn as, you know, safer and morally. And I said, you know, I fear that it wasn't really morally safer, and you guys are going to tell me that, and I'll cry, which doesn't matter because I feel like crying because I feel so vinegared out and I feel gross. But, you know, that's what I'd want. And the woman said, we'll go outside. Your ride's back from getting the... And then the door opened and Morley's brother was there. What was his name? Barney. And he said, you know, me and him talked it out. I'm back. And they said, oh, no, you're gone. Go with your new friend. And they said, your stuff will be on the curb in the morning. Money minions are going to get it. And then they said, congratulations, Barney. And I said, he said, for what? And I said, remember I said I'd handle everything. It's handled. He said, well, I love this woman. I said, well, your brother doesn't, and he's famous. And I want to be, you know, keep him happy, not you, Barney. So let's go. Keep it moving. And then Grayson barked a few times. And I said, don't upset Grayson. And then the oldest woman, she said, yeah, hey, man, get out. And so I used that as my trump card. And we got in the car, the three of us, and... I said to Morley, did you get the eggs? He said, yeah. I said, did you find another adventure for us? And he said, possibly. He said, that took forever. And I said, well, you got your brother back. And he said, yeah, I did. And I said, I decided we'll be calling ourselves Morley, Safer, Safer, and Borley. Borley, safer and safer. Barney, Borley and Morley. Yeah. And they actually smiled and they said, Barney, Borley, and Morley, Borley, and Barney. Well, you could change it every episode. And then Morley, obviously, will be, you know, it'd be like your rebirth. You don't need it. So this will be cooler. And you'll have like ultra edge because you're so distinguished. And so we'll have so much credence. Borley, Morley, and Barney, Barney, Borley, Morley, Barney, and Borley. I think that's the way it's going to have to go. So I'm honored to work with you guys. So what did you think about the eggs? And Morley said, I have one question before we enter into any partnerships. He said, did you dip your nipples in the egg stuff? And I said, the egg dye? And he said, yeah. I said, we're not on air, sir. So you're not going to get an answer out of me. And he smiled. I said, see, it's calling you back, Morley. And I got right in his ear like that. I said, the case is... we got somebody out there, and they're and I did this all the way back because then he let Barney and they say the way Morley's wife said, you're having a sleepover in the basement now, so we all got sleeping bags, and I said, and I think they were actually excited about it. Maybe I was delusional. Could have had vinegar, you know, some vinegar VBD, vinegar brain disorder. Vinegar brain delusionality, but I said, you know, we're on the case. It's, I guess, gator poachers probably isn't the thing, or youth, you know, chasing manatees. But you know, what if we found a, you know, flea circus? We bustle it off of that as our first case, and I said, and then we'll work our way up. That'll be our first thing. It'll be a 4-minute story. Borley, Borley, Barney and Borley, busting the flea circuits. You know, we'll blow the lid off of that. And then Barney said, why? And I said, that was the only thing I could think of. Barney, go to sleep. I said, I'm putting you guys to sleep there so your dream of case is better than a flea circuit. Let your flea circus think of yourselves in a game of Half-Life, looking for a new life of crime that's interesting, you know, that's not reported, but that we can somehow market, that's exciting, that we can use Morley's, that has a lot of voiceover, that we can use Morley's voice for, and that you won't get in trouble, and it won't be a lot of work, so you can't, you know, so I can add off your complaint about you being retired, or that, you know, it'll be steeped in mystery, because it'll just be Morley, Borley and Barney or Bor, so no one will know. You know, we say, I'm not really him. I say, I never said you were what you are or could be or is you is or is you ain't my Morley. Is you is or is you ain't my Morley. Cause Florida bad guys, you're about to be revealed. Is you is or is you ain't my Morley. Cause I'm about to bustle it off of agribusinesses that steal. Or swampland that's overpriced and mismanaged. Or, you know, police brutality that you never see. With Morley, Barney, and Borley on the case now. Well, all the criminals will be quaking on their knees. Yeah. And they were asleep. And so hopefully you're asleep. And hopefully one day I'll have an interesting, you know, my dream would be, you know, picture me and Morley cruising down Florida byways. I don't know, you know, that's just a fantasy though. But this is a sleep podcast and not a fantasy, you know, a podcast where a man boy and a real man team up and have adventures. But, you know, maybe one day that'll happen. Good night.